looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome everyone to Light on Living. I am your host, Lisa Berry, and you are listening to Storytime for the Self-Lover series. I'm so happy today. You guys know I'm always happy, but today it just, I don't know, there's this extra light, like lightness in the world, and I don't know why, but it's beautiful, and I'm so happy to be sharing this with you today. But I have some fun stuff to just my own little story, and how I want to start this off is I'll be reading the chapters, two chapters actually, from the book, What Self-Love Got to Do with It. You guys know I'm in love with this book. I just, every chapter, every time I reread it, I just am so happy to do it. And the two chapters I'm going to be reading is Self-Love is Your Choice by Heather Andrews. And flipping over because it's so much fun, I'll be reading the chapter Unleashing My Inner Wonder Woman by Rosalind Fung. Now, my mini story jumping into this, of course, I just love talking about cats. And so I have to do this one. But the two chapters are really about, as we said, choice. Self-love is your choice. And then the Unleashing the Wonder Woman, that's about fun and powerful, but in this creative way. And I couldn't think of a better thing to share with you, that choice. Okay, everybody, you know, it's funny. This has been a week for me of all my clients coming to me and letting me know that, nope, they don't have a choice in the matter. You got to do what you got to do. And you know, other people are just controlling their schedules. But the truth is, they're not. And I'm really going to be bold on that one. I'm telling you right now, they are not. This is your choice. If you are a slave to your schedule, you've created it. And I'm not blaming it. I'm not saying anything like that. But what I said is, you might want to sit down and take a look at the choices you made and what were your priorities. And here's the best way. I want to give this tip to everybody because I've lived this and I know this. When we make a choice, and that is our lives, it's our schedule, be happy with it. Because if you make a choice and you live that way and you are not happy with it, that's when we start becoming angry, blaming the victim of things. And my fun story to share with you about this is, in 2012, I made a choice about my schedule. I decided that every Friday night was going to be Friday Feline Fiesta. And now, okay, that was really a fun choice. But let me tell you, when I made that decision, it came with a lot of important values. It was really important to me to spend time with the cats. And I'll tell you why. It's like everybody else choosing like yoga night or book night. The cats to me are, I get to play, like I get to unleash my Wonder Woman, my fun side and powerful, because it's like meditation for me. There's no judgment. It's just beautiful and fun. And we do everything from catwalk karaoke to double dutch laser lights. I mean, it's just a fun night, and I really get to rejuvenate. And so let me tell you, that choice didn't come as easily, because you know how many things are on Friday nights, how many things you're invited to, how many events, whether it be for work or fun, because it's parties and things like that. Now, not to say that I always over, you know, it's been 8 years now that I've been doing this. And it's not to say that the odd Friday, it hasn't changed. But I was happy with that decision, and I never felt, oh, I can't, I have to have Friday Feline Fiesta. It was never about that, because I made a choice that I was at peace with. I loved it, and I knew the value of it. And then, as I said, if there has to be some things you do, you do. So if you're looking at your life and you're hating the choices that you made, you're looking at going, oh my gosh, I made these choices or commitments that I don't like, you need to revisit them, because I'm telling you right now, you are in control. And you know what? Heather Andrews has written all about that. And you're going to hear some really beautiful choices that she made in her life, and they were really hard. So I'm going to jump right into this. So this is from the book, What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And actually, Heather Andrews is the publisher, and she gathered all these beautiful co-authors together. And that's where I'm really happy to read her chapter. So here we go. Self-love is your choice. Man, I'm checking my time because it is a good one here. Okay. Why is it that in today's world, we can talk about the bad things that happen to us and people comment on social media with empathy, embrace the negativity, and root you on? Or better yet, agree and support you as you blame the situation or person for the bad day you're having. Are you sitting there shaking your head in agreement or thinking I'm crazy? Well, I'll agree with you on the crazy part, but it is a result of living a solid, happy life on my terms. I love that. I support others in their dreams as they go out and create a different story for themselves. I refuse to live a life that is full of excuses and blame. I've always been a self-confident career woman, but my sense of self-worth has climbed mountains and plummeted to the seafloor more times than I can count. I have played the empowered female, the victim, and the blame game. I have ventured down the road of being the biggest cheerleader at my pity parties to being in shock at someone giving me a compliment in my high-end managerial role on a job well done. I was a people pleaser, but viewed it as being a mentor to others. It didn't matter what I sacrificed, whether it be family time, date nights, I'm going to sneak in here, Friday feline fiesta, I think, holidays, or self-care. Until recently, something or someone always came before me and my needs. As I sat in my managerial office, I thought I had reached my full potential until I retired, as I was highly esteemed, respected, and well-known by my peers and industry. I had it all. I was living the corporate dream. My identity was titles, mother, wife, and whatever else came my way, depending on what I was doing. The more I did, the more important I felt. I'm sure you'll be able to relate to that. Well, it played havoc with my life without me realizing it because I refused to look and see where I was at in my constant doing. I was stressed out, and it affected my relationships. I was not fully present for myself or for the people that loved me. It looked all well and good, but even in my best moments in my job, I second-guessed myself that I was doing everything right by other people's rules and expectations. I was trying to please everyone, to make everyone happy. Well, you can only carry a load like that for so long before you begin to crack, feel empty, and start to resent everyone and everything around you, including yourself. I've told the story of me leaving my managerial role many times because it was such a life-changing event for me. It set the foundation for everything I have built with my mind, heart, and soul. I share my story again and again because I know people can relate to a job restructuring. People say, "It was just a job, you'll find another." True, but when your job is all you've worked for, when you are dying inside because you feel worthless, wondering how you'll feed your family, well, that statement becomes nothing but bullcrap. It is taking me 2.5 years to arrive at a place where I trust my intuition and can live a full, happy life. I stand tall in my vision and my values, and I'm proud of what I've created. My social media feeds are some of the happiest out there because I have bottomed out and come back. I do whatever it takes because I'm passionate, worthy, deserving, and committed to my clients, co-authors, and even people I have not yet connected with. We are rising and changing the future for women, men, and children for generations to come. People tell me I'm inspiring and I'm humbled. I am here to serve you by pouring my heart and soul into helping you share your story. I want to release people from their past and help them understand that they have a choice. The word is powerful, choice. It is a game changer. The day I got my walking papers from my job, even though I felt powerless, I knew I had a choice. When I left my dysfunctional marriage at 24 and got on a plane to Saudi Arabia, I had a choice. When my husband was deployed to Afghanistan, leaving me to solo parent 3 children, I hit my emotional wall and gained 30 pounds. I still had a choice. When my dad died and my mom was alone, I knew I had a choice. When I lost my job, I knew I had a choice. The only time in my life when I did not choose well was when I chose to believe I was not worthy and good enough. I chose to believe I was not pretty enough, not sexy enough, and not good enough because I was not skinny like all the beautiful members who, like all the beautiful family members was who told me I was fat as I was fat as a kid. That is such a tricky line. I have to say that all over again. Remember when I was doing the audio recording, I stumbled on this one too. And not good enough because I was not skinny like a beautiful family member who told me I was fat as a kid. Now, who can relate to that? It is amazing that I can remember that even though it happened so many years ago. I've lived my life always wanting to be skinnier than I am. In the past, I based my worthiness on my waist size. It's crazy. Now, as I approach my 48th birthday, I am the strongest, healthiest and happiest I've ever been. Why do we let ourselves believe that we are not worthy? Why do we live in fear of what others think? How will we be judged if we fail? All this does is create internal conflict. We live a conflicted life when what we hear, what we read, see, the upbringing we've had, and the stories we tell ourselves and when we look in the mirror. We are conflicted with ourselves with what we see. In a recent webinar, a mentor of mine said that there were five types of conflict. Man versus man versus society, man versus technology, ooh, that's me, man versus self, man versus nature. In this chapter, I will refer to man as human. So, human versus human. This one comes down to our interactions and connections with other people. We have a choice on how we react to other people, the roles they play in our lives, and the impact they will have in our lives. It goes back to what I said earlier about looking outside of ourselves for our self-worth versus looking inward and knowing in our hearts that we are unique individuals. Once you recognize that you can either choose to believe what other people tell you, or you can believe in your intuition and what's in your heart, what you receive in this world will change. There is choice, but communication is key to translating what your choices are to those that are impacted. When it comes to human versus human, conflict occurs because people aren't always equipped to have difficult conversations with a win-win in mind. Words can hurt and cause harm if we allow them, especially if we are taking our cues from the external environment to measure our own self-worth. God, that was so good. I want to say it again. Okay, I'm going to. Words can hurt and cause harm if we allow them. Because it's a choice. Especially if we are taking our cues from the external environment and measuring our own self-worth. I remember I attended a class in my leadership certification. The teacher mentioned that only 3% of society knew how to effectively handle conflict. Why is this not taught to our children outside the home? We would all be more empowered if we knew how to show up effectively by playing nice and really listening to what other people have to say. It's a lot easier to love yourself when you feel empowered. The aha moment. I choose my words, so I am partly responsible for how they affect others. Human versus society. Society is a tricky place. I love that. I always say tricky. Social media is everywhere, and we must apply boundaries to our usage of it if we don't want it to consume us. We are bombarded with Photoshopped images telling us how we should look. I remember thinking that if I look like the women in these images, I would be happy. I know I was not alone in my beliefs. In my first marriage, I believed that being in a subpar relationship was better than being alone. But I was alone anyway. We slept in the same bed at night, but we did not love or communicate with each other. It also takes me back to when my husband deployed to Afghanistan and my kids were in activities 7 days a week. I was so freaking tired, and I had reached my max. I showed up to work in a bad mood, negative and full of blame. I made excuses for not eating healthy. I deserved my French fries. I was not holding myself accountable, and that is when I made a choice. I decided to cancel some activities and take back my life. It was one of the most empowering choices I'd ever made. And you know what? No one said a word to me. No one judged me and called me a failure as a parent. The aha moment. No one cared because they were too busy dealing with their own chaos. Human versus technology. Technology changes faster than we can keep up. It has connected us globally, and having information at our fingertips is so powerful. We can build business teams online and communicate with our friends near and far. We can see pictures of kids growing and talk face-to-face with our relatives in distant countries. It keeps us close to what is happening in the world, and it can bring people together when they have a common goal. The downside is that we have become available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Constantly being accessible and plugged in can be very stressful and detrimental to self-love. Unless you turn off your device, you can always be found and contacted. We like to be constantly busy because it makes us feel important and wanted. We often affiliate our self-worth to our little handheld devices or computers. It's a symbol of self-gratification, if you want to call it that. I am just as guilty of this at times, so now I've built boundaries around my devices and access them only when I need to, not because I have to. I made a choice to take control. I have used technology to create automation in my life and business so I can have a life. Tony Robbins said, "Your cell phone is for your convenience, not others." My son and I recently had a conversation about how technology was affecting his life. He is a third-year engineering student. He said engineering is still engineering. It is all the technology platforms that they had to learn that was an additional stressor to the amount of content that they were being taught. As I have raised my children, I have instilled in them the belief in themselves, and it has had its rewards. They have reached adulthood and met challenges head on. He came home one day from university frustrated with the system. His words, "University is a great place for learning and connection, but the demands on you as a student can make you question your self-worth because it is so easy to feel like a failure. I can see why the suicide rate in my age range is increasing." That's a bold statement. This came from his heart. He knows what he's talking about because he had a very dear friend commit suicide in his grade 12th year. I'm not saying this to point fault at any institution. I am merely stating an opinion, feeling, and observation from a kid in the system. I knew I had my issues with my own self-worth, but it was not till I became a parent that I realized how much I need to look deeper and to heal. I was their leader, mentor, and mother, the most influential part of their lives. If I did not have my beliefs intact and my internal compass of self-worth dialed up, what chance did they have? In today's world, technology has a global impact. So we need to be able to filter, set boundaries, only take cues from an external point of view, and hold on tight to your self-worth. The aha moment here was I had to be the one to choose to set boundaries regarding technology. I had to make a conscious decision to not affiliate my self-worth and love with how busy I was. So we're going to sneak off to commercial, but when we come back, we're going to jump into human versus nature. And she's got some really good things to say there, because nature, you can't change that one. You got to work with it. So join us.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All Alrighty, I'm so happy to be continuing to read these chapters from the book, What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And I'm your host and a Storytime reader today, Lisa Berry, and I'm reading Self-Love is Your Choice by Heather Andrews. Now, we've covered human versus human and human versus society and human versus technology, but now we're jumping into human versus nature as we continue. Human versus nature. How does nature relate to self-worth or self-love? Well, we can view this from a couple of angles. Some of my best moments of reflection have happened in nature. For example, the gentle changing of one season to another. I can sometimes want things to change immediately, but nature reminds me that it is gradual. It is a gradual process. Nature teaches us to weather the storm by overcoming obstacles that happen in our lives, and it teaches us how to handle real-life situations. I talk more about overcoming them in my last book, Obstacles Equal Opportunities. Great book title. Like, everybody grab that if you can. If one has been affected by weather, their lessons include recovery, patience, gratitude, overcoming loss, grief, resilience, and they gain the strength to move forward. I'm grateful for what nature has taught me and in places it has taken me, from the cold winters in Canada to the Saudi Arabian desert. The elements make you think ahead, and you need to be prepared with the right tools to keep you warm, dry, and protected. If we walk through life being accountable for our preparedness, we might not take the hits we do to our self-esteem and self-doubt, which ultimately affect our self-worth. The aha moment. Nature teaches us that while we have choices, we cannot control everything in our lives. Sometimes we must go with the flow. I love this. Human versus self. I wrote a post on my Facebook today about a course and its teachings that I have been practicing for 11 months. I attended one of the courses as a volunteer team member. Last year when I showed up at the course, I felt I had pretty good handle on my life. I had my first book being published and I was working full-time again. However, I was in debt because I felt I needed to upscale my business and ended up making some huge mistakes. I had tons of self-doubt and my trust in myself and others suffered. I felt I needed what other people were offering because I told myself daily that I did not have what it took, even though my intuition told me otherwise. I was very angry, but I deflected from talking about my feelings to talking about how busy I was because I did not want to look inward. I was scared about what I would find, pent up old hurt, blame, excuses, and the possibility that I was not worthy. A very brave man who I ended up being partnered with for the weekend had a strong sense of self, and during one of those exercises, we had to look into each other's eyes. It was like looking into a soul, and I kept turning away because I was not sure if I was ready for someone to see mine. It felt like a dark place, cold and unfeeling. He took my hand with purposeful kindness. No words were exchanged as he brought my eyes back to meet his. The longer I stood there, the more I felt in my heart. Tears shone in my eyes. My tears came from a place of hurt, love, and kindness. They didn't come from anger over a job loss or feeling sorry for myself for what might have been, or the blame I put on myself for investing in my business or myself to the point of almost bankrupting my family. He stood there with kindness in his eyes and nodded, as if he was giving me permission to feel again. That was the day I fought for what I believed and told myself I was starting my business. That weekend was the breakthrough I needed to bring my emotions to life and learn a new way to focus on the positive side of life. I had new tools, and my mind, soul, and body were working together in alignment. Oh, my God. That's incredible. Oh, Heather, that was just absolutely beautiful. I had new tools in my mind. My soul and my body were working together in alignment. Now, that's powerful. Everybody, that's where you get your power from. She is going to share her Facebook post. This was my Facebook post from the day. It all started with Flip Your Switch with Suze Casey 11 months ago. It amazes me how hard we are on ourselves. I attended the afternoon session today and gave testimonial to my life transformed. From the belief repatterning and way of being and showing up for myself and others in my life, I lead with my heart. I trust again, and I am so blessed by listening and taking a chance. The results of my life are more loving human in my relationships. Found my self-worth and trust within. Have put a filter on the yucky stuff in the world and know how to move past it. Empowered emotion. Sense of calm, peace, and happiness. kicked fear to the curb, found my dream business, which has grown 95% in 6 months, trusted my path and surrendered to process, followed my gut, elevated my life. We must lead by example. If I talked to anyone in my life the way I used to talk to myself at times, I would be friendless. I was mean to myself, and I allowed myself to believe that I was worthless, that I was a worthless reject. There was no room for self-love among my self-hatred. I did not respect myself enough to stop the negative talk, take care of my health, and trust in my inner guidance. You know, I could build my business without spending more money. The lack of trust also showed up as not completing any new course or sticking with any commitment. My journey did not stop at that one weekend. I had many more universal slaps to learn lessons about self-love over the next 4 months. I have utilized the tools I've learned on a daily basis to rediscover my self-love and self-worth. I've completed over 100 hours of transformational weekends and coaching. I've gone back to my childhood and dealt with every belief, statement, and negative piece of anger that I have carried. I have cried, written letters to myself, and beaten the floor with the angry stick, all in safe places with the guidance of professionals. When I forgave myself for treating me so horribly, I was able to grant myself permission to love me. I wanted to free myself from hatred and wrath and instead hold myself in loving arms. I allowed myself to surrender to the process. With the power of I am affirmations and understanding who I was and what I stood for, I learned that I am a committed, passionate, and deserving human who could love herself and serve others because Heather is an awesome human who cares so much for mankind and loves deeply. I had to say that. Yes. I will grant myself the permission to say how hard I have worked to build my business, love those around me, and hold them close. I have modeled the way and shown others that it is okay to love who you are and be the version of your unique self. I am proud of my Facebook posts and what I have created in my business, my life, and my relationships. I asked for help and support, and above all, I shut down the negative chatter. It has its time and place to keep me alive, but above that, I stopped long enough to reset and ask my body, soul, and mind if we are all in alignment as we move forward. Aww. I react, yes, but I do it from an empowered space, looking for resolve or lessons learned while holding myself accountable. Gone are the excuses, blame, and anger. I know it has been working because for the last 3 months, money has been tight. But we always had enough because I needed to spend time on my business producing and creating while working on my team and on automation. I have found that the resources to cut my debt in half, build my business by 95%, and finance the remainder of my loan. I am happy and peaceful, and more importantly, I love myself. Since I have found my happy spot, my stress has decreased, my resentment and anger has diminished, and I have lost 22.5 inches from my body. We often come at our life fulfillment with the concept of I'll be happy when I achieve X or Y. Well, what about happiness during the journey? I know I have come at you from all angles in my story, but I wanted to share with you the real journey of what self-love got to do with it. My answer is everything. Your self-worth is your most priceless possession. It is your internal commodity and your value. If you are scared or stuck in your story, stop and look inward, not outward. What are you feeling right now? Acknowledge it by writing it down on the aha moments and self-reflection page of after this chapter. So everyone, you can do that right now. Grab a piece of paper and write anything that you are acknowledging, okay, what you're feeling. In fact, I encourage you to do it after every chapter. We have provided space for you to do so. What do you want to change? This is about you, your life, and your values. This is your story, and the choices you make will reflect the outcome. Yes, it takes courage, support, and openness to break the barriers, but I know you can do it, and I know you're worth it. If you need permission, I give it to you with my heart and soul. Get on that worthy train and write it until you find self-love. Dig deep and let it out. Share your story. It will help you heal, and it will help others to heal. The world needs our stories. I know I've taken you on somewhat of a roller coaster ride, but my goal was to share as the many aspects of self-love and worth as it is more than a bubble bath and a glass of wine. Don't get me wrong, it's a great start, but that's what it is. It's a start. The journey is still ahead of you. I stand strong today in my power. I'm a parent, a woman, an influencer, a leader, a mentor for our future generations. I am worthy, deserving, and owning my self-love. My wish for you is to discover your path on the road of life. Take that first step today. You can't create different things if you are like everyone else. That's said by the greatest showman. Go be you and rock it like the rock star you are. Claim your self-worth. It's yours. It won't be easy, but once you make that first step, you won't look back. Will you take the first step and cross the line? It's your choice. Oh, Heather. Oh, I can't love it. And I love the aligning. It's just, oh, everybody, as we close out and we are going to go into the next beautiful chapter by Rosalind Fung, I want to say, when you're in alignment, it's just fun. It's just peaceful. It's just knowing and clarity. And you know what? You know, when you're out of alignment, you know what that feels like. You know, you get like a sore hip or out of whack shoulder. Imagine your soul having that. So, oh, big breath, everybody. That is just so wonderful. Thank you so much, Heather Andrews, for writing that chapter. And we are going into reading Unleashing My Inner Wonder Woman by Rosalind Fung. That's Fung. All right, here we go. Oh, gosh, the bold statement here. Imagine me naked. Okay, almost naked. Just wearing an itty-bitty black string bikini, tanned and greased up. I'm standing on a stage, my muscles flexing and popping as I'm doing my quarter-turn poses in front of the panel of judges. There are hundreds in the audience. I'm wearing number 72. I'm standing there, showing off my, perfect fitness model bodybuilding physique, paired with a smile that hides the pain. The pain of enduring months of severe dieting and uncertainty and anxiety about whether the judges would think I'm good enough to place in this figure bodybuilding competition. This was the nature of the game. We are there to look our best, not necessarily to feel our best. How often are you more worried about what you look like when you're feeling trapped on the inside? How often is your confidence heavily reliant on how you look? We live in a world so hyper-focused on image and weight. So, my aha moment occurred when I realized that after 10 years of dieting to chase this perfect body, I didn't actually achieve the happiness and peace inside that I hoped to have. This is my story. It's our story. Flashback to 1991 when my parents decided to put me in an etiquette workshop for girls, and the teacher pointed out that a little protruding belly on my 9-year-old body was wrong as I stood in front of my peers. Shame and embarrassment flushed over me as I stood shaking in front of a group of girls my age. I was speechless. Shortly after this incident, Jeff, the boy sitting beside me in class, told me that Carla, the most popular girl in our grade, said I was the ugliest girl in grade 4. Then there was a time when I was proud of myself for getting an 80%, 80 on my math test, only to be met with what happened to the other 20% when I showed my parents. These were only a few examples of experiences I had growing up as a young girl. I was confident, happy, artistic, athletic, smart, carefree, or I perceived myself that way until the outside world told me differently. I got messages that I was not pretty enough, skinny enough, or smart enough. And after a while, I began to believe those messages. I learned that I was not enough. To compensate for not being enough, I started to become an overachiever, a perfectionist, and I developed a type A personality. I would constantly beat myself up until I achieved my goals, and even then, it wasn't good enough. I was never satisfied. When I was 18 years old, my boyfriend was drooling over a cardboard life-size cutout of Britney Spears, who had the Hollywood hot body at the time. I was so insecure that I immediately compared my body to this stupid life-size cardboard cutout and felt like I didn't measure up. I made it my mission to get the perfect body through dieting and bodybuilding so I, too, could feel worthy. You know what happens when shame and dieting come together? It's a formula for an eating disorder. My preferred method of disorder eating was binging. I would restrict my food intake to ensure I stayed in my low-calorie range. Then on cheat days, I would binge on every single food I could think of that the diets didn't allow me to eat, including foods that I didn't even care for much. Well, afterward, I would feel guilty, beat myself up for not having enough willpower, and punish myself by doing hours of cardio. Then, in 2008, I decided to take it to the next level and push my body to compete in a figure bodybuilding show. It was at that moment on stage, with that perfect body, as I was posing in front of the judges and audience, that I realized that my life had come to be so narrow, so rigid, and empty. it was a real reflection that my drive to be good enough, pretty enough, and smart enough so that I could finally live, oops, she's going to swear, live a fucking happy life was a total failure. I realized that at that point in my life, I was a high-performance, successful woman. On the outside, I looked like that I had my shit together, that I was happy and confident. I was a karate instructor and a role model for kids, teens, and adults that I taught. I had an amazing new husband, and I was a new psychologist in a budding private practice. Despite all my successes, I did not feel truly fulfilled, and I couldn't understand why. Shortly after my breakdown, I was introduced to learn about a powerful transformative method called Hakomi. Hakomi means how I stand in my relationship with myself and how I stand in my relationship with others. It is an incredibly life-changing method that combines psychology, neuroscience, and spirituality to resolve any issue in your life. Of course, as a therapist learning about something new, I was faced with working through my own limiting core beliefs. Through my own self-worth in Hakomi, I discovered that I unconsciously believed that I was valued in what I was doing rather than what I was being, and what I was doing was never enough. At the core of it all, although I was highly confident, I lacked self-worth. Confidence and self-worth, which are often mistaken for the same concept, are two different things. Confidence is about believing in your abilities, whereas self-worth is how you value yourself. And they do not always go hand in hand. And I want to stop there because we're going to be scooching into commercial, but really think about just that for a second. Do you have confidence in your abilities, or are you truly looking at your value of yourself and your life and what you are and what you offer? So I want you to be thinking about that as we go to commercial, and then we come back. We will continue our chapter from Rosalyn Fung.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, everybody, for joining us for Story Time for the Self-Lover here on Light on Living. And I'm your host and reader, Storytime Sharer, Lisa Berry. And I'm just, like I said before, I'm reading from the book, What Self-Love Got to Do With It. And each chapter has just been so beautiful. And I'm really kind of sad that this is the last story time from this book. And I can't wait to read their next ones and next ones and next ones, because Heather Andrews is just compiling so many of these books. And as we just read from her chapter first, she truly is doing what she loves to do because she is in alignment. And as we're reading right now, the chapter from Rosalind Fung, who I've actually been able to get to know off air quite well. She is a fabulous coach, and I just wanted to say that about her. And as she shares these in her chapter, really about, she's placing so much her value on what people thought of how she looked and where her confidence was coming from. And we left off with really hearing about her confidence is about believing in your abilities, where self-worth is how you value yourself. And so when we do talk about self-love and self-worthiness and look at your value, and everybody is valuable. Everyone listening right now, you are valuable. And if you don't think you are, I want you to write to me and I will tell you how you're valuable, okay? So let's continue on with her chapter. All this time, I was unconsciously driven to do more, be more, and have more, just so that I could be happy and fulfilled. As I did my own self-work on changing my limiting core beliefs, I learned, and you know what, everybody, if you don't know what your limiting core beliefs are, I have to just say this. You know what, I'm going to talk at the end if I have a moment, but limiting core beliefs, if you, there's something out there limiting you in your life, that's what the limiting core belief is. So as I did my own self-work on changing my limiting core beliefs, I learned how to build my own self-worth. I transformed from thinking I was not good enough to knowing and claiming my power and truth that I am enough. I started showing up in my own relationships with myself differently. I learned the beauty of stillness and coming home to myself. So beautiful. I learned to truly value myself and love myself. As a result, I started showing up in the world differently. I embraced being perfectly imperfect. I stopped being so rigid with food and learned to have more flexibility. I started to love my body just as it was. Shifting from focusing on what it looked like to honoring my body for what it does for me. How Comey deepened my relationship with myself and the work I did with my clients. It was so life-changing that it was a no-brainer to become certified as a How Comey practitioner. And now it is the foundation of my life and how I work with my clients. How Comey helped me believe in myself so much that shortly afterward, I went on to become certified as an eating psychology coach. As I realized that I went through my own journey so that I could share my gifts to help others heal their body image and food struggles. I was also blogging at the time about my own journey so that I could inspire others. I posted a before and after photo of myself. However, they were not your typical before and after photos. My before photo was my bodybuilding physique on stage, and my after photo was me 10 months after I gave birth to my first son, so I was softer and curvier. My atypical before-after journey caught the attention of the Huffington Post, who contacted me to publish my story on their site. This was truly a confirmation from the universe that I was meant to help others love themselves too. For the following 6.5 years, I ran multiple food, body image, and self-love transformational groups for women and for men. I worked with teen girls, women, and men to help them feel more empowered in their relationship with their food, body, and health. Food and body image issues are just a doorway to deeper aspects of ourselves. At the core of it, my job was to really help people awaken to consciously rediscover their diamond self, the self of pure love and light that we came into this world as before all the shame and guilt was projected onto us. In 2014, when I went on maternity leave with my second child, I also joined a group coaching program for speakers who wanted to create a more positive impact. I was part of a community and coaches and business owners from various fields, and my mind was blown with all these new ideas of how I could get my message out there. This led me to become the first registered psychologist in Alberta to trailblaze and create an international online program in food, body image, and self-love. This was no easy feat. There was a lot of red tape that I had to go through since I was in a very regulated profession. I was determined to find a way to make it happen, though, because I knew that my work would make a difference. As excited as I was about creating a more impactful As excited as I was about creating more impact internationally, I was equally frustrated by such a strict regulated profession. Witnessing my coaching peers making such an amazing impact and having freedom with their time, money, and location gave me the opportunity to reflect on my own career and whether I wanted to continue as a registered psychologist. As much as I loved being a psychologist, I knew that the strict limitations of being in such a regulated profession were keeping me from living out my biggest vision and dreams, where I could be creating impact and having freedom with time, money, and location. I deeply desired to travel more, volunteer more, engage more in play, and especially as a mom of two young boys, I wanted to spend more time with them in their classroom and at home. At this point, my personal development work and my desires to create a more positive impact motivated me to hire a business coach and start a self-love coaching business on the side. I soon realized that my passion shifted to working with female entrepreneurs who were getting in their own way. Women often struggle with their self-worth and confidence to put themselves out there, whether it is in networking events, speaking on the stage, in front of the camera, promoting themselves, or charging the true value of their services provided. I also attracted female entrepreneurs who wanted to take their business to the next level, but lacked strategy and systems to put it into place and were thrown into the overwhelm of too many ideas and directions. They lacked clarity and focus and ended up going around in circles like a chicken with its head cut off. Oh, because I had invested so much in my own learning to grow my business over the years, I truly felt confident to teach others what I learned and prospered from implementing. As a result, this led me to add business strategy. This led me to add business strategist coaching to my services. My side hustle began to take off quickly. My side hustle began to take off quickly, and 5 months into it, I started to realize that being a therapist no longer aligned with my biggest visions and vision and dreams. Trying to maintain my psychological practice was hindering my ability to grow my coaching business even more. I realized that I needed to take another leap of faith and retire my 10-year successful psychological practice and make more progress to live out my biggest vision and dreams. I believe the seed was planted in my head back in 2014, but I didn't admit it until 2017. However, halting my psychological practice didn't happen right away as I wrestled with my inner critic and fears of letting go. My inner critic was saying things like, "How can you leave such a successful career and start all over again? Who's going to come to see you if you're not covered under benefits? You have a young family. Are you sure you can do this? What if you fail?" On and on it went. Retiring as a psychologist was one of the most difficult journeys I've had to endure in my career. It required me to work through another layer of my own self-worth issues. I didn't realize how much of my own identity had been wrapped up in this prestige title of psychologist and the status that came with it. I had to really work through my own grieving process and loss of identity as a psychologist. It was a huge part of not only my identity, but my self-image. More than ever, I had to practice what I preach with my own clients to help me tame my own inner critic. Finally, about 6 months after coming to the realization that I needed to retire my psychological profession, I gradually surrendered and turned to my inner critic and thanked her. After all, she is there to protect me and keep me feeling safe. That's her job. I stepped into my own inner Wonder Woman and had a conversation. Okay, many conversations with her. I let her know that I truly believed and trusted in myself and that I had all the resources I needed to ensure I lived out my dreams. I now know that my true calling is to support female entrepreneurs so they can get out of their own way, so they can grow their businesses through a combination of the Hakomi method and business strategy coaching. I help them to have a higher level of impact while also creating more freedom with the time, money, and location. I recently rebranded, created a new website, and hosted a relaunch event where I stood on stage in front of 150 women to declare my new platform of self-love, life, and business coach. I had tears of joy running down my face as I stepped on stage and shared authentically how I was living my dream at that moment. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but with the guidance of my own coaches, belief in myself and my dreams, and an unstoppable attitude, I did it. I was so touched by all of the women in my community that came out to celebrate this day with me. My intention of the event was to bring female entrepreneurs together and drop them into vulnerability, so I could find the courage to connect with each other from their authentic space. This allowed them to share their biggest struggles in business and know that they are not alone. I wanted to create a strong sense of community where women can be real, share, inspire, uplift, collaborate, and connect with each other. I was so touched by all the feedback about how these women had breakthroughs at my event, and the connections that were made among them just lit me up like a kid on Christmas Day, which is not too far away right now. This is the start of a new chapter in my book of life. It hasn't been an easy journey, personally or professionally, but I believe that whenever we are called to step outside of our own comfort zone, it's never easy. However, to feel and witness how amazingly rewarding it is to expand my comfort zone and to live out my dreams makes it all worthwhile. I believe that life is an adventure. And if we don't take the opportunities to grow, to create, to expand ourselves, we stay playing small. You are not meant to play small. My wish for you is to choose love over fear. Explore and expand your boundaries in a way that's in alignment with your greatest dreams. Anything is possible when you put your mind to it and take action. I believe in you. You are worthy of living your most abundant and joyful life. That was so beautiful. And I love how the two themes really, I mean, alignment. Alignment was such a big thing about choice and growing and living your dreams. And there's no reason why we cannot live our dreams. Like, and that's even like a negative to say that. You can live your dreams. I think that's so cool just in the ending there when she writes, when this Rosalind Funk says, my wish for you is to choose love over fear. Well, how interesting is this? I'm going to be walking over to the other room here because I've had this beautiful little, I don't know, it's a photocopy of a saying that a dear friend gave to me, and I just read it again today, and I think she gave it to me 2 months ago, and it says, which I love this, your mind is either a miracle maker or a miracle breaker, depending on whether you're listening to the voice of love or the voice of fear. And I can't even believe, that's so crazy, Cance, that that just even came up, that about the love and fear. And that was actually from Alexi. I want to say she's a phenomenal stoveless cuisine chef. And I love being able to, you know, when you align, and this alignment, this whole business of aligning, you think, oh gosh, okay, well, what does that mean? It means that when you do make a choice and when you do take action, that you not only chose to do it, you chose to do it, but you chose to do it from the right place of that voice of love and not voice of fear. I always know when I'm making, you get that little intuition, you think, oh, I said yes, or I shouldn't have done that, or I'm committed to doing something, and you can just feel it. Now, Rosalind actually talks about stepping out of our comfort zone in her chapter too. So this is why it's so important to take the time to know your own language, because stepping out of your comfort zone doesn't always mean fear or wrong. It can feel a little bit off effort, like, oh boy, here we go, I'm getting ready to grow. And I love the saying, I kind of created the saying called grow then glow, because you know it's right. You know that the choice is coming from love when you know that after you take the step, even if it's uncomfortable, that you're going to love yourself even more for it. But if you have so much fear around it and it's causing physical, you know, pain and ailments, and that other people are really responding to you and reflecting that the wrongness, the negativity of it to you, and that once that decision or thing happens, if it's just going to get you just money, if it's just going to get you the position, if it's just going to get you the compliment, but you're not going to feel good about it, then that's how you know you're out of alignment. So it's such a funny thing, this whole I mentioned before, I was dealing with sciatica, and I think this is why I mentioned the beginning of this whole show today that I felt so happy, is because I figured out what was going on, and I just already feel the healing, the alignment coming from it, and that's what I wish for you guys. So as I wrap up here, it is beautiful. I'm so sad that it's over, but well, I know there's going to be so many more stories to share. As we wrap up story time for the self-lover, I want to thank all of the co-authors for just creating this and sharing this. They're all from the book, What Self-Love Got to Do with It. Please pick up a copy of your own. The audio version is coming out. I am going to be, I'm so proud and happy that I will be the voice of the audio, and we'll get that out to you, and I'll let everybody know when it's going to be available. But right now, go ahead and pick up your book, because at the end of every chapter in this book, there is a page, and it has the lessons learned and the mindset tips. And then there's a page right inside of it where you can write. Let me tell you, my book is completely full. I've written all over this thing. But there's just so many one little liners. And it does take, and I promise you this, I can actually give this to you. As I sign off, it takes every day to do something positive for yourself. Every single day. Do not miss a day. You are deserving of that. So thank you so much for joining me, Lisa Berry, here on Light on Living. And I look forward to hearing, well, talking to you guys and hearing from you on my Facebook page, Lisa Berry, B-E-R-R-Y. And come join me next Monday as we have our segment, our show of musical chairs. So thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week.